You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Elections form a foundation of democratic decision-making in our society. It seems commonsensical to say there should be strict controls on the amount of money that can be donated to political candidates. Not so in municipal politics in BC. This week was the deadline for disclosing election expenditures for last fall's civic election. Vision Vancouver received two-thirds of its reported $2.3 million from corporations and developers. The other big civic party, the MPA, received an almost $1 million donation from a single developer, Robert McDonald, through his company, the McDonald Development Corporation. I'm joined in the studio by Terry Martin. He has been involved in local politics since the early 1980s and worked on numerous election campaigns. He ran in a candidate in last fall's municipal election and has been following issues around civic election financing for quite some time. Hello, Terry, and welcome to Red Eye.
Thank you. Hi.
As someone who pays close attention to campaign financing in municipal politics, why is this issue so important and particularly important for Vancouver?
Well, it's extremely important for Vancouver because the form of development, the way things are being done in our city, in my view, contributes to unaffordability in our city. And when you allow developers to basically run our city through City Hall, they're companies that are in business to make money. None of the issues that are important to the people of Vancouver are being dealt with by that method. One of the things that's really important is that the city charter says that city council must remain unfettered from undue influence. And when a party, say the NPA, your example, almost $1 million from a development company, if they had gotten elected, who are they going to serve? Are they going to serve the people of Vancouver, or are they going to serve McDonald Corporation? The answer is pretty clear.
I understand you have looked through the campaign finance disclosures for parties in last fall's election. What did you find in some of those disclosures?
Well, obviously, a lot of donations by development companies. One that was very striking to me was the Walcorp. In the last meeting of the last term in council, there was a development permit application for an upzoning at a site at Kingsway and Boundary. The zoning allowed for 300 units to be built on the property. The application was for 1,100 units, and while Vision Vancouver was approving that, which is at least $36 million extra in profit to the developer, the moment they were voting on that, they were spending Walcorp's $80,000 on their election campaign. Now, if it isn't corrupt, it certainly looks corrupt. And, you know, in politics, people are so jaded from politics, and understandably, what is being done should not only have it be done with integrity, it should appear to be done with integrity. And what's going on now appears to be not have no integrity whatsoever.
So we're seeing a kind of quid pro quo unfolding here in municipal politics, with the developers paying or contributing a certain amount, and they get a kind of a result in return.
It certainly looks like that. When you look at the development permits that were approved in the last term, they were by and large to major developers that had supported Vision in the previous election. Many of the developers that didn't support Vision and supported the NPA, many of them supported both parties, of course, because you hedge your bets, but ones that only supported Vision, by and large, were the ones that got their upzonings and development permits put through.
What are the rules that currently govern municipal campaign financing in BC? I guess, are there any rules that govern that?
There are rules about disclosure, but there seems to be no rules about who you can receive money from. And if you look at the campaign contributions in the last election, you see that that massive amounts of money have been donated by developers. In the previous campaign, there was there's discussion about money coming from the states from a pseudo nonprofit organization to support Vision. If we can get money from outside of Vancouver and even outside of Canada for an election in Vancouver, it's to me it's bizarre.
So there's no rules about even foreign contributions.
There seems to be not. It's happened already, and it hasn't been an issue with any authorities.
Mm-hmm. How do the rules in municipal elections in Vancouver or in BC compare to election rules federally?
Oh, they're completely different. The rules for federal and provincial, you have a lot more. It's way more tightly dealt with. You can't receive money from certain places. You can't receive more than a certain figure. In civic elections, you can receive money from pretty much anybody, and you can receive as much money from anybody as they're willing to give.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering about we saw a recent there was a casino development proposal here. For the BC Place area, mm-hmm. That development did not go through. It seems like citizens can fight back if they are.
Well, it seems the citizens can fight back, but really, what actually ended up happening with that is the permit was for the application was for a certain amount of square footage of casino. What the city did was it only allowed them a smaller amount of square footage for casino space, but allowed the actual amount of square footage that they had applied for in the building. And so what's going to happen to this building? I expect that in the next few years they're going to expand the casino, and they're going to get what they want anyway.
So even in that case where it seems like there was a victory, it's kind of a...
It's up in the air right now. Mm-hmm. It's very much up in the air.
Okay. What reforms are needed to improve the civic election financing?
Well, very simple reforms. Parties shouldn't be able to receive money from corporations, from development companies, from unions. It should be only from private individuals, and there should be limits on how much an individual can donate. And I say unions. I'm not anti-development, and I'm not anti-union. In fact, I'm a very big supporter of union. But the city negotiates a contract with unions, and so they have. There's undue influence when the union donates money to the people they're negotiating their contract with.
Now, Vision Vancouver and other parties, as well as the provincial government, have at times, including this year, made commitments towards working for election finance reform. What has stopped real reforms to election finance rules from being implemented?
Well, I know the Vision applied to the provincial government for election finance reform once already. They say they're going to do it again. The problem is that because they're doing that, they are obviously admitting that the way it works isn't right. There's something wrong with it. The problem is that what we did in Neighborhoods for Sustainable Vancouver, we abided by the concept of what campaign financing should be, and took no money from any corporation or any union, only individuals. And there's nothing stopping a civic party like Vision Vancouver from doing what they know to be right. They shouldn't have to be legislated into it. And just because Victoria turns them down doesn't mean that they shouldn't take that money.
What about the role of media in all of this? Have they... focused their attentions at all on municipal finance and the effect that election contributions are playing in municipal politics?
Well, the media, in a small way, they've reported the money, but they haven't really had a big... There hasn't been a big discussion about the effect of donations coming from certain sources.
So they're really not... they're not reporting on what they should be reporting on.
They're not reporting on the real issue, no.
Okay. If we were to if we were able to effect some reforms in financing, what would our municipal politics look like?
Well, I think it would look a lot more democratic. I think it would look like it was being run by the people of Vancouver, that decisions were being made that politicians would be focused on what the people of Vancouver really want and need rather than what certain companies' profit margin should be. You know.
And what are some of those needs?
Well, the biggest need, and everybody knows this, is affordable housing. And the problem with the type of development that's happening in Vancouver, the Rise development is a really good example. When you put up a building like that in an area where rents are certainly not affordable, but more affordable than many other areas in the city, that sets a new height for rent in the area. And under the legislation, normally you can only raise your rent by a certain percentage a year. But you can apply for a one-time raise to match other rents in the area. So what tends to happen is when you put up a very expensive building in a neighborhood like that, rents for a certain area around it all rise, and they rise fairly quickly. So these things contribute in a huge way to unaffordability. They don't serve the public. We don't need that building in Vancouver. People in Vancouver aren't scrambling to buy those units. There was a place at Cambie and Marine just a few days ago that sold out in 2 days, and it was hundreds of units. Well, those weren't all people from Vancouver running down there to buy units. Most of those units were bought offshore. They were bought for speculation. Why are we building in Vancouver for people offshore that contribute to speculation, that contribute to rising land and housing costs, when we have such an unaffordability issue here? We're not serving the people of Vancouver when we do that. We're serving offshore interests. We're serving big money.
Given the current climate, the climate being where contributions can be made without any sort of limit, what can ordinary people do to sort of make their voice heard?
I think, ordinary people can organize. Ordinary people can get involved in the political process. I think it's absolutely extremely important that people all over Vancouver are engaged in this process, that they make their voices heard, that they make submissions to council, that they write letters to the newspaper, get involved in the community organizations in their neighborhoods. There are community organizations in every neighborhood, and that are now starting to band together. A good example is the Rise development. There are people from all over Vancouver making submissions to City Council opposed to this development. And the more we do that, the more power we have. If we can organize just regular people organized in huge numbers, we'll have a giant effect on what happens in politics in Vancouver and on campaign finance. We can have that effect.
Well, Terry, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I've been speaking with Terry Martin. Terry has been active in local politics for many years and was a candidate for Neighborhoods for Sustainable Vancouver in last fall's municipal election. For more information and to stay on top of issues related to election financing in Vancouver, the website cityhallwatch.ca has more information and keeps track of the issue on a regular basis.